is the beginning of Channel 1 Over and a continuation of the visit with Everett Smith late Sunday afternoon, the 28th of March, 1971. Channel 1 Over, beginning of Channel 1 Over and a continuation of the visit with Everett Smith, the first visit with Everett Smith this late Sunday afternoon, 28th of March, 1971. Channel 1 Over, beginning of Channel 1 Over and a continuation of the visit with Everett Smith late Sunday afternoon, 28th of March, 1971. 71.
And I have the preachers in my class.
Oh, you teach the preacher?
Yes. And he sits in the class. Now I don't teach him. He's just listening over there. She had the ladies, and she had about five, I think, and I only had four.
Oh.
But we should have about eight each.
Uh-huh.
In the adult. Now, the other grades, have more.
Sure.
But the church is increasing in number, and it's growing in attendance, and finances in pretty good shape. The people, several, good many people, tithe.
That always helps.
And that helps, keep the literature and incidental, in other words, and keeps the fixture and all up, and they have it heated, and it's nice, and it makes it good. But she said this morning, said, come on and be with us. Now, I had the ladies with me a time or two, but I haven't been with the ladies. But she told me to come on with my four, and I wasn't her class. And I said, well, we'll keep separate today, but thank you for the opportunity. Iva, may I call her by her first name, because she's just a year older than I am. And but I said, we liable to change back and forth. But she talked to me funny, but like you say, she likes to see him eat and take care of him. And her husband, it's a miracle that he's living today, condition he's in.
Yeah.
But the Lord was with him and blessed him in a number of ways, and he counts his blessing what the Lord had given him, and the church, helped him a little. But he's, financially, he didn't want to take it because he got a few cows, and he, like I am and like you all, got a little bit of money they have. But they work for it.
Yeah.
But the church wanted to give him a needy family, in other words, with what he'd been through, for not the idea of love and concern for him. The church had been paying for him. He went through all that, and it cost money, up there at that medical center for all that work they'd done.
Oh, man alive, yes.
So they gave him, I think twice they gave him $100 each time, just like they did one or two other needy people. Well, that's what the purpose is. No, there's no use in letting that $5,000 stay in the treasury. You got to be able to use it for people who's in need. And he takes it, see?
He teaches
Sunday
school?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the adult teacher, Ms. Mixon. And I tell you why, Ivan May, Max's wife, has the adult ladies. That is 40, I'd say from about 45 up to 70.
Yeah.
Mr. Dancer, the oldest one in all, my grade, he's Dancer's about, Dancer's 80, I guess. I mean, he's 80. He's the oldest member we have. Then Mr. White, he's in my grade. Eric White. Construction,
I don't know.
Craig, he worked for Craig Construction Company. And his place that next to him is just sold, and the sister-in-law's son wanted to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $500 acre. And I advised him to buy it, and I told him now, I said, I'll sell. If you don't want all of 28 acres, I'll take half, and I want the Pangola field. Well, I can fertilize you for hay, and you can have the house and the well and the other part. I'll just take the already improved Pangola. I've been mowing the hay and saving. One year, we got 1,800 bales off of it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Fertilizer good.
Well, now, you got a good market for that?
Oh, yes. You don't tell them about selling hay. You can sell it. You can sell. I could have sold all that I had in my barn this year for $1, $1.25 a bale. They come got it out of the barn.
Yeah. Oh, would they?
Yes, sir.
They haul it.
They haul it. Come get it out of the barn. But it doesn't have any for sale. In fact, I'm about out of it. I told Jiffy, they got hay over there. They used to sell about $100,000 worth a year over there where he is.
Well, that might.
Yes, sir. Oh, they in the business. They came and got the machine over there yesterday. Now, the way I hit them with that cottonwood. Okay, and I showed them how to take the nails out of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to twist the roofing nails out of the metal roof.
Let me tell you, Everett, I might not see you again. Sit down here just a minute. I have two or three things I want to get you.
All right, just running late. I'm going to have too much time attending my work up yonder.
Well,
I may come back to see you again.
Well, I wish you would.
Well, but, I could count on that.
Getting on the cow deal, well, Willie told you probably that I knew a little something about cow.
Yeah.
Or something.
And pastures.
As I told you, I've had a lot of experience with cockle.
Yeah.
Him and Mr. Eddie up there at that farm, now it was sold, and we're trying to rent that place now to have some grass. I sold it 13 acres in Tangola for Mr. Eddie.
Yeah.
Then I turned around then with a seedler and sold the balance of it, 25 acres, and what you have, Pensacola the hair.
Yeah.
And it's a little rough, and I wanted to get a little level, in other words. And that's what he was, you know, talking about, you know, after it come up. It was a little bit rough, you know, when they started to mowing the weeds off of it. You don't get the start. But this kind of land is hard to get level.
I can't get this land level to save me.
Well, that's what he was asking. I said, it's hard to. And I said, you can take a A-frame hair and get you a railroad iron and put behind that A-frame hair when you're cutting that land. And you can, you know, if you have to angle it, if it had it in watermelon, like his had been planting watermelon, this old Becker boy had it in watermelon out there, you know.
Yeah.
And it had them ridges, you know, every, you know, watermelon row, you know, 10,
sure.
11 feet.
Sure.
And it's hard to get shed of them ridges. But then we got this William boy, McRae had it, 10 old Frank before he went out of business. Frank come out there, and I told Frank, I said, if you angle this thing corner to corner, I said, I believe it'll cut these beds down better. It will be the cross, in other words, then cut it the other way. And you was going to have to cut it, you know, a time or two to kind of halfway get it.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He put a pole behind it, and the pole wasn't enough. And then he tied a chain and a railroad line with a pole. Put the railroad line above the pole, the log, rather, really a log. With that big 10 or 12 blade Athens or Rome hair, I believe it. William Boy bought his equipment. I think he still has it.
Yeah.
And the colored man, one of them is still driving, old Roy, the one that drinks the whiskey all the time. But they fixed the land up there, and I went and I sold it, in other words, to Eddie. And we're trying to rent it. Now, this lady bought it from Kentucky, and she's a horse lady. She bought it for a daughter, and the daughter married, and she wanted to, you know, get out of Kentucky and come down on the farm, and she's going to let her have a few horses, and had some of these high-priced horses, you know, like Bo Beth's got down there, you see. I guess quarter horses or something, where they win the race. It might have been your racing track like Cockle had. And she come and bought that thing. But Eddie, he got his health got bad, and he run a kind of a motel and a laundry and all down on Silver Spring Boulevard. And his wife was one of those people that dealt with this, George Rowe worked with, that big school out there, private school, you know, out of on 27. What's the name of the thing?
Golden Hill.
Golden Hill Academy. And Miss Eddie, while she taking that, she wore the diamond, you know, on the air lobes and had the hen egg, you know, $5,000 diamond on the finger. And she was in the society and all kind of parties, you know, card parties and big reception, in other words. But Eddie's health was bad and he sold out. Of course, he was a Baptist and he came to our church a few times when they lived out there. But she didn't care too much for the church work. She wanted to be with the women, you know, at the card parties, the bridge parties, and the tea parties, and they'd have the drinks, you know, in other words. But Eddie, he a little different sort of fella. Pretty nice fella. He paid me, and I done some fencing for him and put the board fence up and got his 16-foot, you know, 8-foot centers, you know, and got the boards up. And he had some labor, in other words, to help and take my equipment over there and sowed his grass for him, got him started. And we got it built up. Well, then his wife, you know, she wasn't satisfied. And sold this woman in Kentucky. And the daughter, you know, is getting making a short sort, because I got going. Why, she didn't want to live out in no woods. Now then, I told Preston, I says, I was down there, I'm paying my taxes are $400-some-odd. I said, there's something else, and to take away this zoning, agricultural zoning, why, it's going to be rough. And they may take the homestead exemption away from her. Of course, I'd have to live, you know, the $5,000. They got me rated too high with that wood frame building. I don't know what yours is here, but mine is too high. That little land that I have out there, they got me rated up there, you know, I think $20,000-some-odd. And it's not that much value. Now, these horse people know what's coming in and making this land value run up to $500 or $600.
Yeah.
But you can't raise cows. You can't raise cows on this land out here with $600 an acre. Am I right or wrong? You can't do it. Now, lots of these people know they have for Dodge deal, like Gippy man over yonder. They got 1,000 head of cattle over, and that man got several thousand acres in that thing, and he's a millionaire. Just like Ron, where you saw a white cow, that's where that fella millionaire is. He don't have to work any. Mr. Bedford knows and said, what you doing in my neighborhood? Said, I moved down. I got a place out. I bought the old Judge Fletcher place out there, old Strong Ranch from Daytona Beach. I own that, and I got the Charlotte cattle out there. And you can see at home, he got a $70,000 home in there, a carpet that thick on the floor. Got a basement to it, cellar and all. Got wine and everything down in that thing, in other words, too. He'd serve it out in old-fashioned style, you know, the jugs.
Oh.
Yeah, give you a shot of that wine. It's good stuff, too. But I didn't take any, in other words. As Gypsy said, he didn't want to either. Gypsy is a steward at the Methodist Church. He's a mess, that lightning boy.
Yeah.
But we raised each other. And you asked him a while ago, his sister, the one, you know, just like a sister to me, and she's been up here at the university a number of years, and she gets about $9,000 or $10,000 a year. She's a bookkeeper.
Who?
G.P. Lightner's sister.
What's her name?
Louise. She was a Harris. But she lost her husband. She got two boys. One of them, he's in the Pentagon. He's in the finance department of the Pentagon. He's got a salary of about $25,000 a year. Both of the boys finished University of Florida. And they put him in finance school. And the older boy, well, he married a girl from South Florida, and I think he's teaching school. Well, he's making about $10,000-$12,000 a year.
Is she still up there?
Louise is still up there and got a home up there, and she's working in the university, and she writes those, it's more zero than you and I can read. Kind of signed some check, but now and then they moved it all. Willie's getting his check. He got it the other day from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And he's going to move all that up there. It's politics and that thing. They figure some shady work going on in the university. And the check that comes from Tallahassee now.
Yeah.
See? But Louise had been in that department, though, and that's when I told Willie that morning, I said, if you want this job, I says, you go to Louise, and she'll tell you who to go to see. I don't know who's the head of that department you're going to be in, that detective business. But I said, the job is open. I'll go up there and go to work tomorrow. Willie said, I'll be on up there. And Willie's up there by 9 o'clock, and I was about 20 minutes late to work this evening. But Willie went up there, and he could have gone to work that same day. But he waited until the next day, and he went and started to work.
And he checked in with Louise?
He checked with Louise.
And she told him where to go?
She told him what man to see.
Yeah.
And they put him on the payroll. And Willie didn't go to work that day. He come back home. Because his wife was going to work in the afternoon. She was home that morning.
Yeah.
But she worked down at that school, too. And she got a car.
Now, you got this, what's the boy's name out there that works on your car? Is that McAnopin?
Horace Birch.
Horace Birch. I never can remember.
Yeah, Horace Birch.
Now, how do you get him to work on your car? Now, you see, you don't realize it, but it makes a lot of difference. You brought up here, and I moved in, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But he's a good worker, he's a good mechanic.
Yeah.
His brother-in-law always liked him.
Yeah.
And he married a girl here from Edison, you know, and her husband used to be the one of her husband was a depot agent, you know, Collie's niece married one of the brothers. He was a railroad man,
yeah.
Hester.
Hester, yeah.
Yeah, you remember Hester.
Yeah.
And Collie's niece's husband, he died, you know, last. He died 2 years ago or three.
Yeah.
And they married Collie's niece, his sister's daughter.
Yeah.
And the other, that boy and the girl, is living in High Springs, and the boy, he retired from the insurance company. He's living over at Crystal River, got one of those $10,000 boats, and he does a lot of fishing, and just works part time with some insurance. But Horace, in other words, he started doing Caesar Jr.'s work, and after he was there with Colin taking over, I used him in the community working in Colin's garage, you know, uptown now.
Yeah.
And Colin gave him a chance to buy it, but he didn't have the money. Then that other boy, you know, man bought it,
yeah,
down at the mill. His wife had a little money, and they bought it.
They'd
open it a while and sold a little gas and done a little minor repair, but they're not doing any mechanical work at all.
Now,
other boy down at the other station, he got an old retired man from Ohio. Well, he does a little mechanical work, but he can't do no major overhaul. He can do a little minor job for you, know what? He can put brakes on your car. He can grease it, change the oil, and maybe tune your carburetor or something like that. But I mean, as far as going into the motor and doing something, he can't do it. Well, Horace Birch can do the whole job.
Well, now, how do you get in with Horace?
Well, I just...
Well, you got a little something for him to do.
I usually call him, and I wouldn't tell him that I want him to get on it, and I wanted to do it, in other words. But as Mac Weaver says, he's had his old Mac Weaver car for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
But he usually does it for me, because he's depending on Caesar Jr., giving him a lot of work, and Caesar, you know, gives him a check. And I pay him, too. Last job I gave him one. I told him that a little high, and he said, why? And I said, well, I said, I'd have must have kidded him, in other words. I said, a little high in order for you to pull them the truck in, $15. And probably used to do it, you know, for six, five and six. But I said, I know it price has gone up. He said, well, he said, that's the book price now. That's what they tell you all now, you know, the book price. Come and get me, in other words. It was out there at Cedar Jr. And Cedar told me to use his pickup, you know, go home with you, one of them big trucks, in other words. Well, he had the car, and his wife didn't know it. I just used his pickup. I didn't drive one of them big trucks of his home.
Yeah.
And Hoss kept it overnight, in other words. And I told him I'd pick it up, but he carried it back to my house where you came this evening and just left it. And that's when he gave me the bill up there at Cedar Jr., in other words. And Cedar Jr.'s wife, she keeps the book, you know, for all this construction work, in other words, and paid off all them boys, in other words. She's a financier. She handled all the money for it, in other words.
Oh, she's beautiful.
And, yeah, she's
a smart girl. I know her daddy.
Yes, dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice fellow, too.
Yeah.
He's got this.
Too. Has he?
Yes, sir. He's pretty well here.
How'd he get it?
Just conservative, and just grew up and saved and made it, you know, by scuffling.
Well,
and he got his son-in-law at Hickam, and they come down, they cleaned up a number of years on hogs and cattle, you know.
Oh, did they?
Yes, sir.
I see.
And
they stayed in the business,
and
then when some year when the price was right, they made money.
That's right.
And that's about the only way to do it.
They kind of grew and stayed into it. That's
yeah.
right. And they got cattle, and they raised soybean now, and I think since they're brightening the corn, I think he's raising more soybean now and hogs than them. They got a price, you know, so you can get money out of them soybeans.
Yeah.
But that boy is a wonderful person. I went up there and helped him with his hay. I went up there and baled all of his hay for him.
Well.
And he said that he had his baler, but he said, if you want to, you bring your baler. So I carried my hay baler up there. Use my baler and use his tractor to pull it there. But I got a motor on my baler.
Take this boy. down here at Carl's.
Carl's, in other words, you can go down and make a point with him, tell him you're going to bring it down there now. You know, a lot of little places like that. Well, Harsh the same way. You stand a chance more at Harsh's of getting something stolen, you know, than you do down there, because he's living in a trailer right there, and they're not going to steal the tire off with the battery out of the automobile.
Well, now, he overhauled your motor?
Yes, sir. He overhauled his motor and his pickup here. And you'd be spying, and I'll tell you how much I got on that pickup. I bought that pickup in 1955. It's supposed to be a 55 model, but it's actually a 54.
Yeah.
It's the first one to come out with a hydromatic transmission. That transmission is the same as in the 52, the 54 Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
That transmission, what's called a hydromatic. Three-speed forward.
Yeah.
You can buy them now, you know. But that was the first one to come out. And I bought that truck new, and I've had it all this time. And it is soon time 300,000 miles. And one overhaul job is all it had. And the biggest trouble I had with it was a regular valve. Driving to Tampa, driving to Jacksonville, you know, 50 to 60 to 70 miles an hour. You get on the road now, if you don't drive at pretty good speed, somebody run over you.
That's right.
And they have one of 75, 40 is your minimum, in other words. If you drive under 50, you endanger somebody, you know, zigging and cutting off your fender like they did that boy on the expressway in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And he was in the main line. That man, you know, come in on him, though, wasn't he? Taking off his back fender about
$200. That's the meanest thing they do, come in on you.
And come in on you. You got to watch the other man. You know about what you're going to do on the road.
Yeah.
I do, and I guess you feel the same thing.
Yeah.
But the other man, you don't know whether he's half drunk or whether he knows how to handle an automobile or whatnot.
Yeah.
But
now, how do you deal with
but,
this?
Carl, what I did, they didn't have any money down there, see. I bought the stuff wholesale. Bought all my bearings. New crankshaft. I bought a new crankshaft. I bought the main rod bearings. I bought the connecting rod.
Oh, you
bought I bought the new valve, the heavy-duty valve, the, you know, commercial valve.
Yeah.
That's the reason I burned them. It was $10 for the gasket and stuff, you know. Then he charged me. He read me with the price of, you know, putting them valves in. $10 all he charged me. And these other people, you know what they charge you? $35 is a book price. And he charged me $10. But I bought all the stuff, and I paid for the stuff at wholesale, you know, 40 to 60% off.
Yeah.
For Lovell Brothers, either White Electric, just auto parts. That boy in there went to school with my brother out here in Kansas City, Tubbs, that's in the auto parts.
Mm-hmm.
Elmer Tubbs.
Yeah.
And his brother went to Seminole, Glenn Tubbs. He can't see good. He's like Mr. White.
Yeah.
But he's a good man. I bought some stuff the other
and
day. He gave me a cut.
And he can handle them mechanics.
He can handle it. He can tear the thing up. And he's an automatic transmission specialist. He's better than Harsh. Now, Harsh worked 4 years with the Buick place in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But the mailman, Mr. Yarn out here, you know what? He carried his in there. And, he didn't do a good job. Horace had to go back to his time. Harvey Yarn, that John Boy went to school with, carried the mail for us. Like, Harvey finally traded the automobile. He was on the mail route, and you're stopping and going all the time, but that transmission wasn't right.
What, the thing?
But
come
the cow, you want to... Now, lots of people are across them, but as Lightning said, their idea, they stand with, they got the corn herpes.
He got to go, and let me tell you, what I wanted, you know what? Who's your cook?
Who's the cook?
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, mostly. I cook breakfast. I cook eggs and bacon, though, with and coffee and grits.
Yeah.
But she cooked the vegetables I have, and I'm working out while I come in, and usually she has my dinner on the table. Don't while I make sandwiches, I can buy lunch meat.
Well,
but at night, while I can, she usually has the supper now. Last night, we had a chicken fry out here. Did you get out this chicken fry?
No. Well, let me
tell you
what.
In the paper, I thought maybe you'd come out there. People come in there, we move Mercedes, Carter, Mercedes, what the last man she married? Storky, wasn't it? Sharky, I believe that man named. Big 200-pound, 6-foot man.
Yeah.
And he died with a heart attack. But Mudders is still living yonder across the road, I guess, in the ice man.
I like her.
And she's very talkative. And
you like her?
Yeah, she's real thin. I've been knowing her ever since she was a kid.
She's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her.
Well, I'm not a very good cook, but I can
what
cook
I say
something.
Now, yes.
And you'll have to come back.
We actually haven't got around to what I was going to do.
Show them what I'm getting at, in other words.
And you got to go.
Yeah. I've been doing the talking,
and
I'm going to have to run, but make it open, I guess, go right on the church training and start 6:30, but I'm not involved in it.
So, Faye, why don't...
Come over one afternoon.
You don't have to come afternoon, just come over supper time.
You know, after I knock off work now.
Yes.
Now, I'll have to take my time, because
right,
tomorrow... I know I got 2 days that I'm pretty well tied up, in other words. That is about 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
But after Tuesday, I can come, you know.
Well, that would help me, too, because I'm pretty bad.
I can come, you know, after Tuesday.
Say Wednesday?
Well, I'll come Wednesday. I'd be all right.
Well, make a day.
Wednesday afternoon.
After you knock off.
Say about this time, a little after 6. I know for 6, and I'll be here, you know, about 6:30.
Yeah.
Whenever you'll
put a circle around the clock.
And if you want to, I'll take that piece of ham then.
Okay, good enough, baby. Well, I'll see what you get it. That'll be Wednesday.
I'll tell Willie tonight that I met you, and the first time I've ever seen you, but after you told me you're talking with me.
Well, let me tell you, you can't believe anything he tells you, especially about me.
No, you can't.
He knows me pretty well, but he never gets it straight me.
Willie, I always tease him now. I believe you're a little different type than he is, and I believe your wife is a little different type than she is. The buddy there that had up here, and she's still living.
Yeah.
And he's dead. That's but the hooker. You know them?
No.
Huh?
No.
Well, you don't know what I'm speaking about, then, or the relationship or your characteristic and that. Now, he seemed to be a fairly good person, but she was one of these types that wanted everything Ms. Hooker's way.
Is she the one that got the organ place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Willie had done some work for him, and they got along with him, and they liked Willie, and she called him her boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she did.
And I teased him about that, and I says, Willie, I says, he's a pretty nice fellow. He works in the island down yonder, insects bit him, in other words, and he never get over that. As I told Wilshaw Walker, wanted me to go down next time, money said, come down and make about $2,000 a month, and said, won't be any tax out of it until you come back and go spending that money.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not after the money in the world, in other words. I want to live and be satisfied and happy.
Yeah.
And I said, you get down in something another bite and you die, you can't carry that money with you, and you don't enjoy it, in other words. And I want to stay here as long as I can. But Wilshaw, I still go. But this hooker, in other words, they let Willie finally got a tractor from him, in other words, and to do a little farming. Well, they treated him nice, in other words. They waited on him, in other words. But had a little deal with that woman with some hay. And I helped Lightning over there with that hay deal. And the doctor made a mistake and carried it to her instead of the Mertis Carter, Mertis Sharkey. They got a place on the hill at back of Jack Hatchett. That's the barn they're supposed to carry it in. They went up that road down, you know, next to Roland Thomas's. And Ms. Hooker went home, and they put it in the barn.
That'd be nice. I would say.
And Ms. Hooker, in other words, wouldn't let them move it. that are going to tell you, know it. But you know what? A mistake was made. But in a mistake, everybody's subject to mistake. If you don't ever make a mistake, you'll never start to do anything. Am I right?
Yeah.
You'll never mount in there if you don't make a few mistakes. All of them do. But that's when I got to know the lady pretty well. And like I said, I'm scared. Says she's taking a gun, in other words. And she showed us in the concrete basement of the home up there. Had one of these 303 high-powered rifles laying on the table. And that was for her protection, like somebody going to molest her or hurt her somewhere or another.
Yeah.
And had that greenhouse, you know, orc, in other words. I sent a few people to pay to buy them thing, you know, it was for a special occasion. And they'd get them reasonable, and they could, you know, Ocala or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she had some real good orchids. But that experience I had, now I liked the way he talked. But she was a tight, in other words, it seemed like she was.
That's how come Willie to get involved up there. He knew him.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And he started, but he didn't know this. This came on after, in other words, to her.
Yeah.
But we got involved with a hay deal, and Roland Thomas come along later, in other words, and got involved with her over a cow or something. He had a little trouble. And Lightning, in other words, afraid he's going to have to get the law. And she's trying to see if then they come and get the hay. Well, it wasn't but about, I think, seemed like Murray said $160, I believe, is what it was.
Yeah.
$160. And Murray said, done paid for the hay, and he's supposed to make delivery. Well, they had plenty of hay around the shed, in other words, and he come on board with the hay. But they finally got it back. But to show you, in other words, I don't think you that type of person. But Willie, in other words, as you say, he didn't know it either, in other words, but he got involved, in other words. But Willie's a good old boy. Now, might not, you know, make a good report on you, but all of us got our errors and mistakes, in other words.
Now, Willie, he got a little tractor from them?
Yeah. It's on the shed there. A little Alex Chalmers knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then he don't use it.
No, he got 5 acres there of corn, and I mowed his pasture farm a time or two with my big tractor mower. I got one of these big Lilliston, you know, bush hogs, call it, and a big tractor. It's capable of mowing grass, you know. And I told Will, I said, you want to chew this up, don't you? He said, yeah. And I put the shield on there, and it just chews it to mummy, you know, like I guess you use one on your pasture, in other words. Not lay it out there and roll.
Yeah.
It smothers some of the grass. Now, you want to chew it up where it go ahead and rot, you know, and be a little organic matter, you know, for your grass.
Yeah.
But when your pasture gets a certain age, why then you need to put on a small tandem harrow, in other words, and just tickle that ground, in other words. Now, some people just put on a big one like that William boy and just cut it up.
Yeah.
But I think you're doing a little too much, you know, to it then, because it'll come on. But the idea is if you put on a big one like that, you'll leave it too much of hollows and holes.
Yeah.
You can't level it with a dragging behind it.
No.
And if you drag behind it, you'll kick up a lot of them old turf, and it'll be there, you know, bumpy, in other words.
Yeah.
But if you tickle it with a smaller tandem, well, then you can, you know, go ahead and fertilize it after, then that grass come out of there, and it'll, 2 weeks' time, it'll be that high, but I'm trying to get some
Walker, what's his name? Wilshire.
Wilshire.
Now, Wilshire's a bird.
He is.
I've seen Wilshire. Now, is he still hiring out?
Yeah.
Down in Puerto Rico?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he worked a while in Janesville and said, don't you want to go up there with us? And he said, I'm caught. And then he says, you can get on too. I said, no, I'm not looking for a job. I said, I was working part-time in the watermelon season, working at the potato deal. I worked over about 7 years because the pay was good and they were good to me. And they kept the cows. And I farmed a little bit, you know, had a little pea crop and sell to people in the wood. And I sold 40, 50 crates in Macintosh, you know, people for the deep freeze.
Yeah.
And
they're
glad to get them, in other words. Then after I started working again, when I had a pea crop, and Ernie said, well, you done made your money, my brother. Said, you done made the money, only you have to let the cows eat them. Well, it's good after, you know, got matured, the cows eat them. And peas won't hurt them like lima beans. It'll swell them up and kill them overnight. You can't give them a lima bean, but peas is all right for cows and all both. And I said, if Ruby, she wasn't working that time. Ernie said, why? And I had trouble with my feet. Heavy on the feet and had that bone, had to scrape the bone underneath the next to arch. And I'd heard her when I was walking. But she said, how about let me have it on hair? You got the basket, and I'll get the basket back, and I'll pick up a colored woman and a white woman, and we'll pick them. I only had an acre, getting 15 to 20 crates at a time. And said, well, it don't sell, I'll let the colored man that used to farm with us for years eat them, came over onto the ponds, in other words, and sell them.
Yeah.
But I'll take care of the rest of the trade, and some people want them to make it over in McIntosh, I'll let them have it. And he says, what have left over, why, Tom will pick them up, and the rest of the trade, and you come in the evening. I got off at 4 o'clock, in other words, and in the summertime, you know, son, you got 4 hours, you know, to work right on. When I come home to pick up, I put, you know, the 5-6 crates that the rest of them take, came down there to them, see. And they'd have somebody shell them. I had a sheller to shell them. They had a sheller him making open. They'd shell some of them. But they didn't like the sheller because they wanted to let them get them too old before you shell them real good. They'd rather pay an individual nor a dollar a crate to shell them, a dollar a quarter, where they could have some snapped and have them green shelled. Well, that's the way I like peas, in other words. I don't want them dry, in other words. Now, on that lucky day, I'll eat hog joe and the peas, in other words. New Year, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you eat the hog joe.
That's right.
But she picked up $50. And I'm glad for her to get it, in other words. Yeah. And got my crate back, in other words. And I told her, so I said, cows don't need it. They got plenty of grass down in the summertime. But now is the time of year, you know, in the last 2 months, they needed some grass to eat or something.
Yeah.
Because my hay is getting scarce. I saved 600 bales and I got about 15 bales left. And I told GP that I want to borrow some until you start cutting, and I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
And I'll mow some hay, you know, down, you know, and I'll get some, you know, from other people. And I got a little Pangola field that used to turn out 100 bales an acre next to the road.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my hay this last year. Then I saved some indigo, and I saved about 200 bales of hair indigo, you know, because it's going to fix the Tulsa.
Yeah.
And they're crazy about it. I got about 20 bales.
Do they like that?
Oh, crazy about it.
Did you ever get any good?
A lot of people say they waste so much, but if you let it get too ripe, the best thing to do, of course, it costs you money, but the use of value is you can have it ground, but they got where they charge so much for grinding now, for tons. They used to get it ground reading. When Lightning had his hammer mill going, I'd gram it in there, in other words, and they'll block the time, boom, boom.
Yeah.
In other words, there's no trouble about the hammer mill.
What you do, just bring the hammer mill over to a place?
Yeah. Well, either carry it, haul it, then it'd be over at the house. But I have had it over at the house. He got a portable unit, in other words.
You know, if you're going to have cattle, you got to have something like that.
You have.
You just
I think Dippy said that Robert Jack wanted to buy it, but he says, this thing here, I got it, in other words, but I said, I'm not gonna move it. He said, I'm going to keep it. It's on the shed there.
Yeah.
And he said, you can use anything I got, which I can. He's a friend of mine. You know, a lot of times friendship is better than all the money that you can get in the world.
And all your relatives. And
yeah, all your relatives too. And usually the friend that you
what
get
What did your brother do across the road from you?
That's Ernest? Yeah,
Ernest.
He's working out at Lowell. He guarding no prisoner down there, and he got up where he's making pretty good money, but I wouldn't have the job. They could ram an ice pick, a butcher knife, or pass scissors through your shoulder blade. He was in that ride and had the thing on TV. And one of them big 190-pound girls grabbed him and tore his shirt off of him. And one of them said, you stay with me while we win this thing. And he said, they going to hurt me on the concrete floor. You remember reading about it here 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Tore up, you know, $1,000 or $2,000.
Yeah.
And the Willie wife, she's working in the kitchen. She right along with them, the people who are helping her. They got on the knees and went in prayer. And Sybil got with them, went in prayer too. They figured to tear that place all to pieces. I told Ernest, you didn't have that job, I don't want it. So he said, well, it wasn't even working. It's just like Willie's job was coming. But Willie said they robbed one of the machines, a quarter, two of them. One of them run, the other one, you know, had a crowbar where he's firing it open. And he acted like he wanted to come to Willie. Willie, he can't carry no gun up there.
Yeah.
And he told him, said, wait a minute, Henry, you didn't have the whole university. Willie didn't want to try to outrun that teenage bushy-headed boy. I wouldn't have the job.
You know,
but really, he liked it. There's no work. They work about 4 hours, but tomorrow,
yeah.
And they get paid, you know, for 8. They're up there about 7. See?
Yeah.
But he's working to retire, and that's all Willie wants. His health is not bad. He's had this flu. He looks bad now. You seen him this evening?
Yes.
He looked bad this evening. He felt bad at church this morning.
That's the first time I ever saw Willie when he couldn't talk.
Well, he couldn't hardly talk this morning. And there, another boy out there working with him, really, he's the same way. He's had the same flu. He and I went and got a little citrus puff down at Libby's. I buy it, you know, just like these big poke and all of them, of course. And the other store, they charge us $3 a bag for it, and we buy it for a little over $2. It's $2,
oh, yeah.
$2 and it costs enough now. refunds the bag costing us $2.125. That's what I paid the other day. And Willie heard about it, and Willie come down in his new truck, and he and his brother got a ton.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm. That's when I seen Willie, in other words. He's been sick and off of work, and this other boy been working his place. Willie's been off, you know, for a week.
Yeah.
I think he worked the other day when he went down there. My cousin, other cousin of mine, the Williams boy, said Willie's got to go up and work today to get his check, but he can't work no more because the month is out and his time is built up. You can't make over, you know, so many hours. But as he said, we work and we get this sick leave, we get all that kind of business, all the state business. But you can't work over that 40 hours. If you do, unbeknownst to the authority, you can't let them know it. The same way in ours up there. Because we working them cattle, you know, on the Dr. Henson, we treating them cattle, you know, that bucidiosis and giving them those other shots. While you get a bunch of cows and them calves particularly, and you're marking the calves, you know. And some of them, you know, they're pure bred, you know, they got all kinds. You put a special number on them and you record that number, you know, and put it on the book. And they said, now in these 2 hours, don't you say anything about it, but you can take that off next week. So the next week, now we get off at noon to make up that extra time, you see.
What will he go with that odd hour for? He goes up there about time.
Well, he goes in there after shift they have. That's when the demo goes on mostly at night. That's when they robbed him a while back, you know, at the Doyle Corner building. They got $20,000 worth of that high price electrical equipment like you, you know, sitting in there in that Doyle Corner building. And this other, Willie's brother, though, said, I went on an hour after it happened. And Airy was on shift, and Willie wasn't. Airy said, I saw the men, you know, went into it. He said, they cut the light line off the pole. And he said, I didn't fish it. I said, that's what they got you for. Why didn't you report it to the military police? If that light was out on that pole.
That's what he's paid for.
And that's what I told him. I said, if you don't carry your job out, you lose it.
That's why he's paid for it. It's suspicion, isn't it?
That's right. But he saw the man, though, and he said, I thought he was a professor.
Yeah.
I said, that's the kind of people are doing this trick. They got it pretty planned, meditated, and all to carry on the job. With his brother, and I went to work that same after that hour and a half when it happened, you know. It happened about 1, Monroe, Kitty, with his brother, younger brother, it works up there. He went on duty, you know. He's working with the painter crew. He's in the ishing out of the equipment, you know, out of one of the office buildings.
Yeah.
And he's there when it happened.
How long has Monroe been up there?
About 12, 15 years.
Oh, that long?
Yeah, he's up there, you know, making about the money that I was making. Money was making about $7,000 or $8,000 a year.
Well,
and he got all these benefits. He gets a week off, you know, hunting. He got a bunch of dogs he hunts and takes off. And somebody said the other day they didn't like it because he's taking off a little too much sick leave at one time and needed something. You know, the busy time there now. They can close down the deal up there. You know, it won't be a couple of months before they start another session. See?
I never see Monroe. Why don't I ever run into him?
I don't know. He's down at that store pretty regular down in Clinton.
Yeah.
But he don't move around. He's hunting, in other words, up here on this road, you know, going out of Easton.
Whereby?
Going out to Cross Creek.
Yeah.
Lost some dogs, you know. And now he's got some dogs lost back coming. And I said, that fella's not the kiddie dog. And that's when Monroe got $100-some-odd rifle ordered. And it hadn't come in. They wouldn't send it until they seen that H.A. had his license. But I said, you can't do anything about somebody killing your dog or shooting at him when they're catching his calves and kill them. And they're stealing them, bossing out there. They got run one of his calves down, you know, and hitting him up in the pen, said, you heard the dog. And he saw, you know, where they lassoed the calf, and they either caught him and killed him or either caught him alive and put him in the back end of a 6-6 Buick with a white top. And got away, because some nigger that lives on the Brady Road out there saw the Buick and the car in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it happened early in the morning. But he said he heard the racket.
Well,
and I said, well, 3 years ago, well, I got a piece of property just this side of Willie's there.
Yeah.
I own a little farm there. I don't know, Willie might have told you, I got 55 more or less acres over there.
No.
Just the side of where you're going into Willie, you know, by the voting booth. Yeah. And I got 40 acres rented there next to the road there.
Yeah.
And my 55 acres, I've got 95 acres there that I've got some cattle on now.
Yeah.
It's in some of it's improved grass, and it's about 25 acres. It's in just carpet and broom sage, and I sow indigo in it, and it comes up. It makes, I have mowed hay over there.
Yeah.
You know. But I ain't got too many cows. I sold some calves the other day. You're talking about me keeping with them. They're crossbred calves. A neighbor that's supposed to keep a fence between the colored man and his poor husband bull that he bought from Henry Gaskell got one bred two of my good Angus cows. And I got two white heads, in other words, and it's little bull fellows, and I didn't mark them. In fact, I hardly, busy as I am out, I don't ever mark none of my calves. Selling me bulls.
Yeah.
And I carried them market, and they were born Thanksgiving, and one of them brought $127, born Thanksgiving. Nearly 45 cents a pound.
Yeah.
And he weighed 270 pounds.
Yeah.
And the other one, a little bit smaller, and he bought 41 cents. But they're off of, they're white, black with a white head.
You haul them up there in your
I haul them up in the Gainesville. And a carried a barren cow, looks like you got one or two barren. Now, I'm not saying about your cows, but look like I seen one that's barren. I don't believe she's had a calf in the last couple of years, the way it looked to me. Have you got any barren cows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw one that looked like it was maybe a barren cow like mine. She weighed 900 pounds, and she brought 25 and a half cents a pound.
Yeah.
And I said, that's something new.
The one you thought looked like she's barren, she lost her calf last year, but it wasn't her fault, it was mine.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed one down there on the fence, and we were talking about something else, and I said, cow, that's mighty fat.
Yeah.
That's the way mine was.
Yeah.
She'd been on good grass and this pasture, and wasn't too many in this field.
Yeah.
And she got fatty, I don't know what, and so she didn't have a calf, you know. Well, she hadn't had a calf in 2 years. And she'd been exposed to my bull and also the neighbor's bull that then there and those others. It was in that Willem. And I got that fellow Willem to come by there. They'd all got skittish. It's a fellow from Anthony. I can't think of his name now. Eric told me he'd come by and haul them in his truck. I tried to get the Baltimore cow that you can hire. You know, the hauling done, creep the chief, and you can haul them yourself.
I'm going to tell you, I have had a little hauling done in Ocala, and they're the nicest people
they
I
are.
Know.
They are.
I just soon have them do it.
That's
I
right.
do it myself.
That's right. Well, this boy does a hauling for me. Usually lives down here at Martin, in other words. That's that Tootin' boy. Tootin', Adjie Tootin' is his name. He's in the phone book, and I call him, and he come by and picks him up for me.
Yeah.
And he'll haul a load, you know, with $15, in other words. And you take the truck and clean it out, in other words. If you make a couple of loads, or three loads where you pick up, it'll cost you that much to haul them. See what I mean?
Yeah, all that trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wreck it and
that's
have
right.
a tire
that's
down.
Right. Now people got the insurance and all that stuff on it.
That's right.
But they're going to say that the crossbreed now will give you money in your pocket, and that's what you want to get.
That's right.
Now you got some good cattle, but you want to get a little grocery animal. And
yeah.
As I say, and when you want to sell your animal now, I don't know whether you agree with me or not.
Yeah.
But don't let him get over 6 months old before you wean him and sell it. Sell it. Don't keep him there. What? You save your cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
She gets in shape, she breeds back.
Yeah.
And you bet off, because that calf, when he's that old, he'll bring you more. You keep him when he gets up, you know, big year.
Yeah.
Like these calves, 100.
Yeah.
Well, they brought in much of a big year than I had. You know, one that I saved some replacement heifers there.
Yeah.
It, my neighbor's bull got in there with him, and I fed the bread two of them, two of those heifers, but they didn't seem to think so. And I said, well, I don't believe he did either, and I hope he hadn't, because they only. They're 12 months to 14 months old. In other words, some of them born in December and some of them in February. So you can take it out. They're around a year old or 12 or 13 months old. But I didn't want to breed them until, you know, get at least, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. I'd rather let them get some growth on them. I got one at the house, and I told my brother, I'm good mind to carry that thing over and sell it. But often one of the good cows, and she bred when she was a year old. And she had a nice calf and didn't have any trouble. But the calf, he's about 3 months old. I said, he'd bring the cow won't bring the $75, $80 because it's gonna weigh over 500-600 pounds.
Yeah.
But you want a cow over like yours. I want my Angus to weigh at least, you know, 800 pounds anyhow. Now he's a poor husband like yours, you got the cow that weigh 1,100 pounds.
I saw a fellow one time that had a bunch of black cows,
I'm gonna have to call that boy on the phone. And I'm going on back home. I could have ate supper with you, couldn't I?
They were all light cows, and he bred them artificial, and he had the most beautiful calves you ever saw.
Yeah. Well, that's what Mr. Detloff trying to.
And
now,
then he wouldn't leave the calves on them, you see, like you said.
Yeah, that's the same to do. And take Take them and let the cow get in good shape. And she won't take so much.
They say a big cow, a little cow to eat much big cow, but won't do it.
Won't do it, no, sir.
No,
they won't do it. Like I told my brother, he said, "You gonna care that heifer?" I said, "No, she didn't have any trouble." And I said, "The calf will bring in much. I'm gonna wait, you know, he'll weigh about 125 or 35 pounds. Well, he'll bring 45, 50 cents a pound. He's off the herd bull that I showed you down there. But she ain't no size. She was them other heifers, you know, from last year, and she ain't no bigger than what the one I got saved, in other words.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that bull that girl got from J.C. Reeves down here, the bull. But she's nothing like my bull. He's just a bull at all. He's got a back end on him. Looks like a Jersey cow. I'm not throwing off my neighbor, but you know how some people are. He's nothing like Nixon nowhere. Now, Max, I'll tell you, you've seen him. He got them good cattle.
And he knows how to handle them.
And he knows how to handle them. He got them good cattle. When he sell them heifers, he brought them up there on a 2 years, not up there on a season. And see, weigh him for nothing on account of his, you know, losing all his jawbone, in other words, not charging anything. But them people that rented one of these four-wheel trailers, and they had 9 or 10 of them in that thing, and those calves, when he weaned them, they added 600 some odd pounds.
Yeah.
And I know it that people give him, you know, 30 cents a pound for them.
Yeah.
Well, that's $200 for them calves, in other words.
Yeah.
And he made some money.
Yeah.
But I didn't get $150 or $70 for him when he's smaller. And we let her breed back, and you don't have to feed that cow. She don't eat so much.
Yeah.
And that calf, why, you get your money out of him.
Yeah.
And you figure that if the cow costs you $40.
And the bigger the calf is, the more he pulls that cow down.
That's right. That's why everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I want to grow for your calf. And I'm a good little, like Max has gotten here. Now I have the Angus, and I got a few of the, you know, Hereford, it was good cow. I got one or two that got a little age on them. Always raised a good calf. And sister-in-law butchered one, you know. It dressed, that calf dressed 300 and some odd pounds, and he wasn't but about between five and six months old.
Yeah.
But she gave the milk, and he was a nice yearling, and it was a bull yearling.
Yeah.
Soon we kill him, we cut him, you know, and that bull meat is just as good as any steak you get from west or anywhere else. Don't believe it, I'm bringing some of them to deep freeze, and we'll eat a piece of it. I'll see you, Mr. Morris. I'm going to the church down from here. I'm going to call him.
No, let it go.
I'll have time. I'll
stop on the way. You call him right here while you're here.
I'll
call. Channel went over around 800, 810, and this is the end of that remarkable visit, the first visit with Everett Smith, this Sunday afternoon, just about supper time, almost 7 o'clock, the 28th of March, 1971. Oh, this is a landmark. The end of the visit was Everett Smith. I've heard about him for so long. This Sunday afternoon, about 7 o'clock, almost 8 for church time, up until church time. The 28th of March, 1971, Channel 1 over, around 8, 10, 15, 20.